Today's scripture reading features a verse that we teach in our preschool class. Today's scripture reading is Psalm 1.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore, the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, that was awesome. Glad to see a family memorizing the word of God. Delighted to be with you here today. Blessed by the best, why settle for less? That's what I'm going to be talking about. But I do want to just start off by saying, you know, we are the family of God, redeemed by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, gifted and indwelt by the Spirit of God, submitted to the authority of the Word of God, united together to advance the kingdom of God for the glory of God. That's us. I praise God that we're here today, and I want to give you a little update. Those of you who pray for my son, Matt, he is doing well. He hopes to make it out to the second service, I believe it is. This is he and Erica's anniversary, so we praise God for that, and amen. God has been good. God has been good. And then I want to just say this. I wasn't in church last Sunday, but I watched the video. Pastor G did a good job, didn't he? Amen. I tell people my claim to fame is the students we train. He is a graduate of Crossroads Bible College, now College of Biblical Studies, where I was the president. And besides, he's bald-headed, so I like that too. Praise God. Delighted to be here with you today. Wow. Think before you choose. Think before you choose. Happy 4th of July. I thank God that I am an American. And I thank him even more for the noble idea upon which this nation was founded, the Declaration of Independence, which declares, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yes, our history is marred by a struggle, a long and painful one, to fully apply these words to all people. And even today, we find ourselves wrestling to define who we are as a nation. Yet, despite our national imperfections, I am grateful to my Creator for the freedom that I have this morning to stand before you, to open the Word of God, and to proclaim it without fear of government interference." Amen. That is a blessing and is one that should not be taken lightly. Today I'm asking you to exercise that same freedom, the freedom to choose. In his word, God often places before us two options, and each one comes with a very different ending. Consider how the scriptures lays out spirit versus the flesh, light versus darkness, builders on the rock versus builders on the sand, the wise versus the foolish, the narrow way versus the broad way, life versus death. And in Psalm 1, we are presented with a clear and sobering choice, a life rooted in God's word and bearing fruit, or a life blown away like chaff in the wind. So I urge you today, think before you choose. Let me challenge you with this powerful reminder that I found. I don't know exactly who wrote it. Got several different possibilities, but let me just read it to you. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. The path you choose matters, not just for this life, but for eternity. As we turn to Psalm 1 and discover how to be blessed by the best, because truly, why should we settle for less? We will cover three basic things: the path that ends with less, that is ruin; the path that ends with the best, that is life of Christ; and then choosing the best daily. Before I get into Psalm 1, I realize that some of you might be sitting before me today and you're just simply saying, well, I understand, I even know Psalm 1, and I know this stuff about blessing if you're in the Word of God and all that, but I've been looking at people, and I've been looking at wicked people. I've been looking at people who deny the Word of God, who live contrary to the Word of God, and I see them prospering. I see them having money. I see them having health. I see them doing well. And I look at myself, and I'm trying to follow the Word of God, and it doesn't seem to be working out. Well, there was another person who had that problem in Psalm 73, verses 1 through 3. It reads, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then moving down to Psalm 73, 10 through 17, he says, therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Two choices. Psalm 1. The Bible says, blessed, blessed, happy, joyful, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You and I are being counseled every day in every way through mainstream media, through TikTok, through Facebook, through Twitter, through just name it. We've been bombarded in classes, at work, in entertainment, all over. We're getting counsel to do this and to do that. But be very careful, my brothers and sisters. The Bible says, blessed is the man, happy is the man, joyful is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. We get the counsel, we get the thought, then we move into the situation, the action, where we're standing with sinners, living like they do, talk like they do. And then he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, because pretty soon if we follow that counsel and live that lifestyle, we become scornful. We look down upon these poor little people who believe the Bible, who have no mind to think on their own, who are deceived in this imagery, this dream, this imagination that there's a God who's in control. They're there, they mock. But blessed is the man who don't do that, because consider their end, beloved. The Bible says, and here in Psalm 1, starting at verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away wheat. The kernel of the wheat is heavy. The leaves are dry and light, and you can put it up and blow, and the wheat will fall to the ground, but the chaff will just vanish. It's trash. Said, ungodly, not so. But are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Here, one of the things you and I have got to get straight. When we're talking about justice, who decides what's right and wrong? Who decides what's good and evil? We're living in a time when we call evil good and good evil, but there is one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He decides what's good and evil, and one day we'll stand before his court and he will judge us all justly. And if you choose that wrong path, you won't stand before him without consequences. You won't be in the congregation of the righteous. He says in the end of verse 6, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Beloved, I'm asking you. Oh, when you're blessed by the best, why settle for less? Consider the end of that life. Consider this. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I want to look at this, the path that ends with the best. And that's life of Christ. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he does meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Is your delight is in the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord is God's word. It's his communication to us. Jesus said in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Delighting in the word is delighting in God. I'm interested in this Psalm 1. As I look at it, and I look at, well, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is a progressive step in the wrong direction. And then I turn around, and it says, but his delight. Why doesn't it say, but his delight is the counsel of the godly, but his delight is standing in the way of the righteous, but his delight is sitting and taking the perspective of Almighty God? He doesn't say that. You know why? Because he brings you to the best. That's him. If you get right with God, you're fellowship with the godly. If you get right with God, you'll stand in his ways. If you get right with God, you'll see life from his perspective. He takes you to the top. Fellowship with God. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, if you keep my commandments, my Father and I will come and we will fellowship with you. The Bible also says, 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. Beloved, keep in mind, the Bible is like and no other book. It is one of its kind. It is the voice of God. When you pick up that book, you got the breath of God. The word of God has been breathed. You talk about a bestseller, this is a bestseller. You talk about something trending, people are reading, this is it. And know what? I know the author. And know what? If you save, you do too. This is the very word of God. The Bible also says, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You and I can deceive others. We might even deceive ourselves. But we can't deceive God. And when we get in his word as we ought to and delight in him as we ought to, he will open us up, show us where we're wrong, but show us how to make it right. He knows us to the T. He is word. It's alive. You might say, but no, brother, well, the word of God is dead, man. I tried to read it. It's dead. I don't get nothing out of it. It's dull. You're dead. The word of God is alive. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. You and I have to get our hearts right before God and allow the Spirit of God to open this word up to us. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Psalm 19:7-10 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. I'm just quoting part of it, not all of it. The law of the Lord is perfect. More to be desired are they than gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Delighting in the word of God is what I'm trying to talk about. Psalm 63:6 says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. I will meditate on your precepts. Psalm 119:15 says, and contemplate your ways. Psalm 119:16 says, and I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. Psalm 119:97-99. Psalm 119:148 says, my eyes are awake through the night watches that I might meditate on your word. What I want you to see, beloved, is that meditating in the word of God should be a delight. It should thrill our souls. The Spirit of God should be opening our understanding, giving us wisdom. The psalmist said, the proverb says, cry out for wisdom, cry out for it like silver and gold. Seek it. It's to be desired more than gold. And we get that wisdom from God. His word. Beloved, God wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with me. And as we get in the word of God, and that's the Spirit of God, to open our understanding so we can understand the heart and mind of God. We see his promises. We see his character. We get encouraged by him. We get strengthened by him. Jesus wants us to delight in his presence by being in the word of God. The scripture says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate both day and night. And then it says, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That is stability. If we don't want to crumble, you don't want to fall, you don't want to fall apiece, stay in the word of God. Be like a tree planted by rivers of water. The nutrients will be coming in. You'll keep growing and flourishing. Stability. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. The word of God keeps us going. It keeps reviving us. It keeps moving us. And God uses us. Fruitfulness in our season. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. We can make it all the way to the end. All the way to the end. We can make it. It's the word of God keeps reviving and strengthening us. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God promises us that the way this life will end for us, if we follow him, if we're in his word, if we allow the word to do what it's planned to do, whatever we do will prosper. That's success. Success from God's eyes. The Bible tells us And Jeremiah 17, 7 through 10. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Beloved, all it's saying is simply this. You got the best. You got the God who knows what's going on in the world right now. He knows what's coming in the future. He knows you. He knows me. And we come and we fellowship with him when we get into his word. And the Spirit of God gives us wisdom. And the Spirit of God gives us strength. And the Spirit of God, it just helps us to keep going. Beloved, you and I have the best. Why settle for less? Don't change course. You say, but Brother Wayne, it's hard. I know it's getting hard sometimes. You say, well, I don't understand. I mean, the word of God just seems, it's not clear to me. Oh, beloved, that's a time when you need to get along with God. You need to seek him. You need to ask the Spirit of God to teach you. You wait on him. Get your mind clear of the clutter of all those things in the world that's bombarding you and breaking you down and making you fearful. And you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what's going to happen in the country. You don't know what's going to happen in your family. Maybe things have happened in your family. Bad things have happened. Who are you going to turn to? Jesus asked the disciples some occasion when others stopped following him, are you going to leave too? Peter said, to whom else shall we go? Who else have the words of eternal life but you? This is the end I want. This is the end we all should want. Blessed by the best. Why settle for less? I want to talk applications now. Choosing the best daily. We see these ends. One's going to end in judgment and ruin. The other one's going to end stability, fruitfulness. Because our ways are known by God. It's the way Psalm 1 ends, which means that God knows us. So my question is, how do we apply this stuff? Some of you said, I've been a Christian for years. I just can't get into reading the Bible, man. I come to church on Sunday, I hear it, you know, that's fine, that's all I can think. Then I got to go in the real world. I don't understand it. Well, let me say the first thing you ought to begin to do is pray. Psalm 119, 18 says, Lord, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your law. As we meditate on the word of God and we ask God to preach, listen, folks, there have been times when I have been the preacher. I remember I was in a church and I was preaching and I got to the place, I'd be looking at the Bible and I got absolutely nothing out of it. And I say to God, how in the world am I going to preach this? I don't see a thing in this. And I meditated on Monday. And I meditated on Tuesday. And I meditated on Wednesday. I said, Lord, Sundays are coming. And I prayed, I still ain't got nothing. I'm studying and I'm looking at this way, that way, another way. And I'm praying and I'm asking, God, give me something for your people. And then somewhere along the line, boom, the Spirit of God begins to open my understanding to the Word of God. And I got joy. And I'm ready to preach. Hey, you need to get joy too. And be ready to live, right? All I'm telling you is you got a God who loves you, and we're trying to ignite a passion for you to follow Christ. Well, anyway, you want to pray. Then I'm going to use an acrostic called READ, R-E-A-D. You need to read your Bible. That's the R. Make it your daily rhythm, not just a religious habit. Somewhere, some way, set out some time every day. I mean, you eat every day, right? Set out a time to read the Word of God every day. You're going to read it. You're going to be asking questions about it. Lord, what does this mean? Lord, what does that mean? How come you did that, Lord? I don't see that happening in my life. How does this apply to my job? How does it apply to my marriage? I like to ask God questions because He's got answers. So when you read the Word of God and you get a plan for reading the Word of God, some people got a plan to read through the Bible in a year. Some people take a psalm a day or proverbs a day. Other things people do, but I don't know, but I just make it a daily rhythm for yourself. That's read. That's the R. The E is eat it like food for your soul. Take it in deeply and gratefully. Thank God for His Word. That's meditating. I'm eating. This is good stuff. Jeez, I remember one time when I was a young fella, just got saved. And I was in church all the time. They were in Bible studies and all that stuff. And I was home one night. And I got bored. And I said, I'm going out and find some of my friends. It's about 10 o'clock. Going out and have me some fun. All these church folk talk about, read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. I ain't reading no Bible and pray. I want some fun. So I drove for about 2 hours. Didn't find anybody. I came back home, it was midnight. And I said, read the Bible and pray. So I got my Bible and I started reading. And God began to open my eyes. I said, hallelujah. I had fun because the Spirit of God opened my understanding to His Word. Take time to eat it. Get that nourishment out of it. And then assimilate it. That is, let God's truth shape your thoughts, emotions, and decisions. You know, when you eat food, you said it tastes good. That's all I'm concerned about. Well, you need to be concerned about more than that. Because you could eat the wrong thing, taste good, and kill you. But when you eat the right things, what happens, it goes into your body, not just for your taste, but your body assimilates that and pulls the nutrients out and all the things that you need to keep it going and to keep it strong. And you and I need the Word of God to get inside of us. We don't need to master the Word of God. We need the Word of God to master us. It needs to be our bloodstream. It needs to be our vitamins, our nutrients that keeps us there. And you need to be there long enough to assimilate the Word of God. And then we need to demonstrate your delight in it. Show your love for the Word of God through obedience and joy. Now, I don't care that much about Christians. I'm just obeying the Lord, man. My horrible thing I do, glad when I go to heaven. No. You got to let people know, boy, it's great to obey to God. Tell them, think about His testimony, what He's done for you, how He's answered prayer, how He's changed your life. And share that. We need not be ashamed of the Lord. Lord, help me. Glory be to God. We walk around here like we don't have anything to believe in. The world got everything to believe in. What do they got to believe in? Nothing. They don't even know how we got here. I mean, I'm honest. And besides, we had nothing to do with us getting here. Which one of you decided to be born? No, there's a God. He's in control. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We were created in His image. That's why we have these certain inalienable rights given to us not by our government, but by our Creator. And you and I need to learn to delight in that, to declare that wherever we go. Listen to this from Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. The author of Ecclesiastes, his great words, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. I got everything I could desire. I got money, I got women, I got power, I got all the toys and trinkets of the world. I got everything. What nothing withheld from me, he said. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, says the preacher. It's like the chaff blown away in the wind. So he comes to this conclusion in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, some of you might say, that doesn't sound too good. Because if God knows everything, my secret thoughts and all, he's going to judge me by that. I'm going to hell. He won't. Come on back now. It's this book, the Bible, who says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us deserve to go to hell, but it's this book that says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's this book that opens my sin up and also shows me my Savior, the gospel. That's why I can go to him, keep nothing from him, share everything with him, because he loves me, he died for me, he indwells me, he is my God. So in that last day, when I stand before him, he won't look at me and say what a sinner I am and how I deserve hell. But he'll look at Jesus and said, he died for you. He was buried for you. He arose for you. You're cleansed. You're good. You're mine. You've been delighting in me all through your life on earth, and you will glory in me to all eternity. Praise God. That's the word of God. That's what I'm living for. That's what excites my soul. Delight thyself in the word of God. Wow. Here's my challenge. Each day is a new opportunity to choose the best, to delight in God's word, to walk in his wisdom, and to live with eternal purpose. Why settle for less when you've been blessed by the best? Choices. Two choices. You can walk according to the counsel of the ungodly. You can stand in the way of sinners. You can sit in the seat of the scornful. Or you can delight in the word of God. You could be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. Your leaf will not wither, and whatsoever you do will prosper. And in the end, God knows your way. And that path, the way you chose, led straight to him for both time and eternity. How will you choose? How will you choose? I want to encourage you. Choose the best. Don't settle for the less. For some of you, that might mean that you need to get saved. You've never been born again. You don't even know what we're talking about. I want to encourage you. What we're saying is simply this. The way God put it, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us will please God in our own righteousness. We deserve his wrath, but he loved us so much that he sent the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. He was buried. He rose again. He's alive. He's coming back. And if we will repent of our sin and believe on Christ, we will be saved. If you haven't done that, I hope that you would do that today. And then, Christian, my brothers and sisters, don't starve yourself. Don't starve yourself. Meditate on the word of God. Get started. Go to a small group if you have to. Go to a Bible study if you have to in our church. Follow the pastors, the notes that they put on online. Get something to get you going. Get a accountability partner. Get something to get you in the Word of God and pray and ask the Spirit of God to set your soul on fire, igniting a fire, a passion to follow Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pause and thank you for being such a wonderful, loving, awesome God. Thank you in your wisdom you gave us 66 books which are the breath of God. And thank you for giving us the Spirit of God to help us understand the Word of God, that we might understand the character of God, the wrath of God, but also the mercy of God, the love of God, the provisions of God. Oh God, we need you and we need your Word. Help us to make the right choice. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.